Welcome to How to Build a Tent. This show is not about tent building, but how to make you successful. My name is Matt Williams. I am so excited about today's show. It's going to be amazing because we have AD Robles on the show from Covenant Recruiting, but also he is on the Fight Laugh Feast Network. I'm sure you've checked out his show and been blessed by it. If you haven't, please check it out. You can see it on the show notes. You can see his company on the show notes. You can see where you can find him on YouTube, Twitter. Please show him some love and reach out to him, subscribe to him, and do all of that good stuff. Today we're going to be talking about, should you, looking for employment, get a recruiter? What should you do if you're a company looking for a recruiter, or should you even have a recruiter if you're looking for employees? We talk about hidden costs. We talk about what it's like to become a recruiter, what it takes to be a recruiter, the pros and cons of being a recruiter. We talk about some of the great stuff that AD talks about. Man, he is just a great resource. He has so much knowledge, so much humility, and he's just a fantastic guy. So I'm so excited to get to interview him today. Before we get into that, we are part of the Fight Laugh Feast Network. Go over to fightlaughfeast.com. Put in HTBT in the memo field. You'll get a sweet mug. You'll get tons of great benefits. And you will be coming alongside of us to proclaim Lordship of Jesus in every area of life, being supporting us, supporting AD, supporting the whole Fight Laugh Feast Network. Thank you in advance for doing that. Please subscribe to our show as well. You can see the links below. That is going to be really helpful to help get the word out to new people that don't know the network, don't know our show, and help them be successful as well. Thank you for sharing the show and all of that good stuff as well. Without further ado, let's jump into the show.
AD Robles, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. No, you're a busy guy. You got a New York Times article written about you. You know you've made it in life when that happens.
Yeah, I guess so. It kind of just happened. She reached out to me and we did it.
That's awesome. So is that how it happened? It's just someone reached out to you and they found you out from something?
Yeah, Molly Warthin said that she reached out to me. She was the author of the column, and she said that she'd been watching my YouTube videos and that she enjoyed them. And she just wanted to chat for a little bit. I made sure to record the conversation just in case.
Very wise.
But it was very pleasant. I mean, we talked for a good hour, maybe hour and a half, and it was a great conversation.
That's awesome. And also, you have had some church stuff going on, and your YouTubing's doing really well. You're on the Fight Laugh Feast Network, which I absolutely love your show, by the way. Your show is the one I look forward to the most. Just don't tell the other people, please.
I won't.
I think I even look forward to your show more than my shows. They're really great. And then one of the things, I forgot what it was, something to do with social justice, because that's kind of your theme. But you were saying something, and you started using the analogy of disciplining your kids. And you started off saying, like, if you don't discipline your kids, you hate your kids, and you're loving yourself more than loving them by not disciplining them. And that has stuck with me for months now. And I keep like using that and applying that in so many different ways. And that was just such a great nugget of truth that you laid out for me.
Yeah, no, that's something I thought a lot about. And that's straight from the Bible. That's what the Bible says. You know, whoever doesn't discipline their kids hates their kid. And that always struck me as something kind of odd, because, you know, when you talk to people who don't discipline their kids, that they wouldn't say they hate them. They would say, oh, you know, I just, you know, boys will be boys or something like that. Like, you know, or I love them. I just don't want to I want the best for them. And so it's just so odd that you could actually think that you love somebody, but in reality, God says, you know, you actually hate them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And I was even watching your latest show where you were talking about some of the criticism that you were getting for criticizing people, public figures. And I was thinking that principle's the same thing. Like, you're criticizing them because it's loving to call them out if you think there's something wrong. It's hateful to just let them go on and think that they're right and not be challenging them.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that, you know, we always have to be careful, right? Because you could criticize someone in a hateful way, for sure. I mean, you can criticize someone that you hate. But I think that sometimes people get this impression that any criticism equals hate. Like, if you criticize, then you hate that person. And, you know, I'm not going to say that I'm perfect or I have the perfect motivations every time. But certainly, I don't think that you could really make the case that every kind of criticism is hatred.
Yeah, definitely. And that is just a good taste of what your show is all about. So where can they find you if they want to hear more of that great truth?
My main thing is the YouTube channel. And you can, if you type in A.D. Robles, and that's R-O-B-L-E-S, you'll find my YouTube channel. And then I'm on the Fight Laugh Feast Network as well. So, you know, just probably in the margin, wherever you're seeing this video, you can just click in the margin. I'll be in there. And those are the primary places.
Yeah, awesome. I'll put those in the show notes so people can just easily click them. And the reason I really wanted you on, and this is a business show after all, is because you have a company called Covenant Recruiters. And you can find them at, or find the website at covenantrecruiter.com. Is it singular recruiter or recruiters?
Singular recruiter.
Singular recruiter. Okay. Covenantrecruiter.com. We'll put that in the show notes as well. And I thought it would be really great to get a recruiter on because there are a lot of different ways that they are valuable. So there's a few different things that I want to explore today. One from a employee or someone looking for employment's perspective, from a recruiter's perspective, if someone may be interested in the career, and then also if from an employer's perspective, why would they want to use a recruiter?
Yeah.
So those three different things I think are really applicable and good to know no matter where you are on that spectrum of one of those three points, because even if you are looking for employment, you want to know where the employer's coming from, you want to know where the recruiter's coming from, what they're looking for, and all that good stuff. So I'm going to let you pick which one do you want to start with, the employee looking for employment, the recruiter, or the employer hiring a recruiter?
Yeah, let's start with the person who's looking for a job, someone who's an employee potentially. And I think I'll let you ask the questions, but I think that if you are someone that at any point in your life might be looking for a job, it's very important to know how to deal with recruiters like me, because we're kind of like cockroaches. We're everywhere. And some of them are better cockroaches than others.
Yeah. What makes a good recruiter versus a bad one?
Yeah. This is going to be probably a common thing that I'll say, but really it comes down to communication, consistent communication and open communication. I've managed teams of recruiters before. And, when you look at, you know, who survives in this business and who thrives in it, it's always the people that are very straightforward, that are very honest. Sometimes recruiters have the reputation, sort of like used car salesmen have a reputation, of being a little bit slimy. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I've met recruiters like that. And so the very first thing that you want if you're looking at a recruiter, whether or not to work with someone, is do they communicate with you often, and do they communicate to you in a straightforward, honest kind of way?
And what would they be communicating to you about? Like, what are the expectations of what you would expect with working with a recruiter?
Yeah. So the kinds of things that you'll probably be communicating about are just the realities of the marketplace. You know, what certain skill sets are worth. You know, what are the hottest skill sets, things like that. You know, oftentimes when you're talking to a recruiter, you're going to be talking about specific jobs or specific companies that they work with and work for. And so knowing about those companies, what does the recruiter know about the client they're representing? Because if the answer is not much, or if they're not willing to give you the information, that's a yellow flag that maybe you need to pump the brakes a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And so I think the key word there is the client is the employer, right? You, as someone looking for a job, working with a recruiter, you're not the customer. You're not paying the recruiter. The recruiter gets their money from the employer, correct?
That is absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. And you need to understand that when you're dealing with a recruiter, because the person paying the bills is you know, who's being represented, really, who's running the show, so to speak. And that doesn't mean that the recruiter can't have value to add to you as well. But to understand the relationship and what you're getting yourself into, that's an important piece of it.
Yeah, definitely. And so basically, you, as the person looking for a job, become the product. And that's important, I think. And I've made this mistake when I was younger in life, where I was just completely honest with the recruiter and I wasn't treating it like I needed to put my best foot forward and sell myself. Yeah. And right. I was like trying to go for a job that would be the equivalent of like a Ferrari style job, but I was presenting myself in like the Toyota Camry kind of way. And lo and behold, the recruiter never called me again. So that was a hard lesson I learned from myself. So you want to treat it like you're interviewing with the recruiter, would you say? Is a fair way to approach that?
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, and we might talk about this later, but the way I position my services with the customer, with the companies that I work with, is that my whatever I do in my process is part of your process, an extension of your interview process. So when you're talking to a recruiter, you should treat it as if it's part of the company's interview process, because it is.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, you're kind of like the first layer to get through to get to the company itself.
Right, right.
And, okay, so do you think that you should always go through a recruiter? Do you think that's the best approach? Or do you think there's sometimes, like obviously if you know somebody and they get you in, you don't need a recruiter, but would you say it's like preferential to just applying on a website or going through a way where you don't have connections? Do you think the recruiter method is the way to go for all professions or specific professions? Or what do you think?
Yeah, I think it really depends on the profession. And I think, if you have a skill set that is maybe a little bit more in demand or something like that, sometimes it makes sense to go through a recruiter, because they can sort of, look, we've all been looking for jobs before, and some of these application processes can take forever, and you don't know where your resume goes or who sees it, if anybody. Like, sometimes it feels like it goes into a black hole and you just never hear about it again. And that's an unfortunate reality. But with a recruiter, they can kind of help you navigate some of that stuff. They know a little bit more about the companies than the marketing materials that those companies put forward. So they can tell you what to expect. Like, hey, this client of mine will take a good week or so to get back to me, so don't worry if you don't hear anything back right away. Or they'll tell you, what to expect, that kind of thing. So certain skill sets, I think it makes sense to work with a recruiter. Mm-hmm. You don't want to necessarily limit yourself, but it should definitely be a tool in your tool set, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. So do recruiters specialize in a certain field, or are they generic? Like, do you work in one industry then because you have relationships with a certain kind of industry and the companies in it? Or do you just have general, you'll take any kind of company and find employees for that?
Yeah, so I think the best recruiters tend to have specialties and areas that they specialize in. Some of the bigger companies that exist out there will have different divisions that handle different things, but they tend to specialize in certain industries and areas. And I think that it makes sense because you become an expert in a certain area. Covenant Recruiter, for example, we really do specialize in technology recruiting. Software engineers, network engineers, cybersecurity, things like that. You should find a recruiter that specializes in your specific niche, whatever that might be. Some recruiters can get away with being a little bit more generalized. I know some that kind of can do anything. And so they do exist. But if I were on the job market, I would go to a person who specializes in what I do.
Great. So I think that's a good transition then to, if I was a company and I was looking to hire some people, why would I want to hire a recruiter and pay a fee, whatever that is, mm-hmm. versus just doing it on my own, going through a website and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, so there's a lot of really good reasons. And one of the things is, there's more to the cost of a hire than just the simple dollars and cents on an invoice.
So
if you're right. I'll give you a good example of a company I work with regularity. So they're really good at hiring, this company. Mm-hmm. But one of the areas that I'm working with them on is their interview process, because what they do is they have a multi-step interview process, which is fine. A lot of companies do that. But their interview teams involve like 10, 15 people. And what you got to really consider that, because when 10 or 15 people are involved in the interview process, that's 10 or 15 people that should be doing other things, because their jobs aren't just to interview. And so every hour they spend interviewing a candidate is an hour of productivity that it's not wasted, but they're not doing their normal job. Mm-hmm. And so you got to consider some of those costs. And I think the more work that a good recruiting partner can do up front can save you so much time. It'll save you from mishires, which, I read a statistic the other day that there's a crazy percentage of hires that end up not working out after a year. So it can save you from mishires, it can save you from wasting time in the interview process and all of that kind of thing. So the fee on the invoice might look big, but if you consider what the alternative is, it's all the time that goes into making these decisions and finding these people and wooing them and all this stuff, it's actually really it can be a money saver, actually.
Yeah, and man, that is such a good point. And that's so appropriate in every area of business that you, or I should say this way, the better you understand the real cost for anything that you're doing, the more successful you're gonna be, the more competitive advantage that you're gonna have. Like there's some right. obvious straightforward costs that you'll see on an invoice, but then you miss, like in this hiring example, all the time that you spend into going through the interview process, employee turnover, that is so huge. It's so mm-hmm. costly to replace an employee for a number of different reasons. And if you can just cut those costs and identify those costs to cut them and note and make a better decision on your ROI, then you're just going to be ahead of the game in so many different areas.
Yeah. And if you find a real expert on a certain marketplace, they can also help you avoid making mistakes. So in other words, I'll give you another example. I was working with a customer of mine who had a very specific, very kind of difficult to find skill set in mind. And I told them at the outset, hey, you know, you might want to consider scaling back some of these requirements and training someone. And it might take a little more time and it might cost a little bit of money in the training, but this is going to take like a year to find someone if you don't do this. And that kind of a thing can actually save you from a year of frustration trying to find this impossible to find skill set where you could just actually create somebody that has all the things you need by putting a little bit of money into it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And training them along the way.
And train, yeah. And so someone who really knows the market can set that expectation with you. Look, if you're willing to wait a year to find the right person, then we'll do it. But just so you know, that's what it's going to take.
Yeah. And another good point is like, that's another cost is how long are mm-hmm. you going to leave a position empty? And
oh, yeah.
are you willing to do that and then take on that cost just to get the perfect candidate?
Right.
And you bring up another great point that I would love your like insight on is you go and you apply for jobs and you look at the requirements and mm-hmm. they're seriously looking for Jesus in a lot of ways, right? The perfect person that has knowledge in 20 different programming languages and they have SharePoint experience, Tableau experience, Excel experience, and all this experience. And like somebody who is any percentage humble is going to be like, I'm not fitting all of these. Do you think that those requirements are must-bes for when you apply for a job, or can you apply for jobs that even if you don't fit all those requirements? And what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah. So the answer is you definitely should apply to a job that you fit some of the qualifications, but maybe not 100% of them, because oftentimes those laundry list of skill sets, like you described, they're just that. They're like a laundry list wish list kind of thing almost.
Yeah.
And actually that's another good reason to work with a recruiter, because a good recruiter can kind of nail down, okay, what is this job? You've got this list of skill sets, but that's not really a job description. What does this person need to do to be successful here? And obviously, if you can do what you need to do to be successful in a job, then obviously you have all the skill sets, even if you don't check every single box. Mm-hmm. And so a good recruiter can tell you, you know, there's some flexibility there. There's some wiggle room here. You know, here's the real must-have core of everything. And so that can be helpful. But if you think like if you have your dream company, they've got a job that you think would be a good fit, but you maybe don't check every box, I would still apply to it. Definitely. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. I mean, you really have to, because like you're never gonna like if so many companies do that, right? And you would be like waiting forever, just as somebody that has those requirements would be waiting forever to find somebody. Like you looking for the job that you fit everything is going to be so hard to find. That's worth getting. So just go for it. Okay, so I think that's a great transition then to the third question of if someone is interested in becoming a recruiter, like what would you say are like the pros and cons of it? And then what does it take? Like, what are the skills you need to be successful as a recruiter?
Definitely. So I was actually just talking to someone today who has a software engineering background, and he intentionally became a recruiter, which is very unusual in recruiting. A lot of people do it accidentally. And actually I fell into it accidentally either, or two. So anyway, so the reason he did it is because he knew that through recruiting, he can have a very tangible, very important impact on the growth of a company. Because at the end of the day, your company is only as good as the people that you bring to the table that make the company. That's what a company is. It's a group of people. And so that's why he did it. And that's it really is awesome in that way. The companies that I partner with, I really do feel like I'm having an impact on their success or failure, I guess, to that point. Because if you don't provide the right service, I mean, it's going to be very difficult for a company to compete. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but the point being, so what do you need to bring to the table, right? So my days are spent doing a few different things. Number one, it's almost like detective work, right? Because we need to figure out where the right people for our customers and our clients, where are they? Well, first of all, where do we even go to find them? And sometimes that takes a little bit of detective work, you know, through Google Boolean searches and finding out where the conferences are, where these people hang out and talk shop, and all of that. So that's it's kind of, you got to have a little bit of an inquisitive mind and a kind of a creative approach. And then the other thing is you do need to have some people skills, because it's one thing to find people. It's another thing to kind of woo them and attract them and know what's important to them. So I would think that anyone who kind of has a skill set that would be good for like anything sales related would also potentially be good at or interested in recruiting.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So yeah. The last question I have about recruiting is there a difference do you find between recruiting people or positions that are kind of the lower manager director level versus like the headhunter, quote unquote, recruiter that is going for the C-level positions?
Yeah, I mean the concepts are very similar, but the time that you need to put into it is a little bit more. I mean, you know, people that are at the C level and you know, the higher level type folks, you know, they take a little bit of extra love, you know what I mean? And yeah. Getting to know them and there's so much that goes into it besides skill set and background. I mean, a lot of times temperament really matters at that level and just sort of, you know, their vision for the future and just, you know, what their family life is like and what they, you know, things like that really matter a lot at that level, because not every C-level executive is wired the same way. Mm-hmm. And not every C-level executive has the same goals or aspirations and things like that. And a lot of that matters to companies because, you know, when you're hiring at that level, mission statement is like even more important. It's important at every level, but especially at people that are setting direction for a company and that kind of thing. So, you know, maybe like just an example, like I might spend 15 minutes, 20 minutes on the phone in my initial stages with a software engineer or something like that to get to know them. But if I'm working a C-level position, I might spend half an hour, 45 minutes, you know, maybe upwards of an hour on the phone at the outset.
Yeah.
To kind of get to know them a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, isn't it, at least for me, it was really interesting to discover that all those C-levels are not all the same kind of person.
Right.
They're not specialized in all the same things. But like you have certain people that are specialized or the best at rebuilding a company or reorganizing a company. That was something that was really surprising for me to find out.
Yeah, definitely. And that's exactly the kind of thing I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Because not every person that has, you know, CEO on their resume or CTO on their resume is specialized at the same kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That title can mean so much. And actually, that's true of almost any titles. Any titles are difficult to really discern.
Yeah, that's very true. And I guess it's just more emphasized at that higher level because there's like one of
yep.
you. There's a,
right.
There could be like 10 to 100 directors, but there's one CEO.
Right. That's right.
Which is a good thing for those of you who aspire to get to that level someday or are close to it or applying for the C-level positions, is you should probably have a good understanding, or not probably, you should have a good understanding of your skill set and what area you specialize in. That will help with the process. It will help you with being successful because you'll know which jobs you'll be more successful in than other positions. If you are specializing in rebuilding a company and the company doesn't need to be rebuilt, then you're probably going to be replaced pretty quickly.
Right. Right. Or you could just start a business and you're instantly a CEO.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And there's a lot of freedom in that and stress.
That's right. It's not as glamorous as you might think.
Yeah, I know. That's so funny. And it's like, I keep trying to find ways to really communicate what it's like to start your own business, but you really don't know until you start it.
Yes, that's 100% true. And also, it's a roller coaster. Some days you feel like you can't do wrong. And other days you're like, man, I am about to have a nervous breakdown. I am a failure.
That's so common in every single person I've ever talked to. And it's like, you got to be a little crazy to keep mm-hmm. doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot crazy.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, okay. My last question, because that was a recruiting question, is how the heck do you decide what to put on your shelf back there?
Yeah. You know, it's not even, I don't really think about it.
All right.
Honestly, I just shove stuff up there. Actually, some of it's thought of, but I was actually, I follow a few YouTubers that they actually do put a little bit of thought into it, and they mm-hmm. kind of play some games too, where people like try to figure out what are they trying to say, and sometimes they're right, and I guess they get prizes and stuff. Maybe I'll do something like that one day.
Oh yeah, that would be interesting. Get some more viewers.
What message am I sending with my toys on my shelf?
I don't know. Keeps us guessing, I guess. I keep like wondering, like, okay, I know you're a Star Wars fan.
Yes.
And then I see, and I can't really see it in this shot, but I've seen before the blue label, so you're a blended scotch kind of guy. I'm just trying to put you together based on your shelf.
I like it. I like it.
Well, AD, thank you so much for taking the time. I know you're a busy man, and I mean, you're a superstar now. If you're in New York Times, you're on the Phylaf Feast Network, you're running your own successful company at covenantrecruiter.com. We'll put the show notes, or we'll put the link in the show notes. If you are looking for a recruiter as an employee or employer, please reach out to him and find him on Twitter, subscribe to him on YouTube. I've done that, and his shows are just such a blessing. You are missing out if you do not check out his shows, check out his YouTube channel. AD, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me on, Matt. Take care.
That is such a great interview. AD just has so much wisdom. It's so great to hear from a recruiter's perspective, all of those different topics we talked about. Now, take that and let's go out and be successful.